What is up, my nerd familia, and welcome to another episode of Games y Más, the podcast where we're talking about all things board games, video games, and pop culture. On today's episode, we are going to be diving into my favorite and personal, well, my personal favorite board game, Betrayal, House on the Hill. We're going to be diving deep into it, learning a little bit more of the gameplay, but ultimately deciding if this game is worthy to be on the top shelf or at your neighbor's weekly garage sale down the street. Ooh, you don't want to find those games there. So, join me as we go ahead and dive deep into this game a little bit, and we'll figure out if it's worthy of being on the top shelf. So, with all that being said, go ahead, pull up a chair, grab some dice, y acompáñame a jugar. Betrayal, yes. So, if you guys have been listening to our episodes here, we have been talking when we would listen when we've talked about board games, you guys have heard that Betrayal is my ultimate favorite game. I love playing it so much. I can't rave about it. Made by Avalon Hill Games. And man, this game got me into board gaming a lot. You know, dove me into the world of board games. And I'm pretty sure for most of you, you guys that are gamers out there, you have the game like that that brought you into the whole mix of the world of board gaming. And for me, it was Betrayal. And I loved it so much. And we're going to talk about it, give a little brief explanation of the game. And then we're going to go ahead and do this little checklist here where we're deciding if it's top shelf or yard sale. First of all, I want to give credit to one of the coolest podcasts that I love listening to, For Your Amusement, hosted by Ryan Bergara and Byron. Sorry, Byron, I forgot your last name. But I've been watching you guys. I love you guys talk about theme parks and your rides, and I agree with a lot of your discussions and stuff like that with your rides. And man, I think I recently watched one of your E.T. ride when you talk about E.T. and I love it because E.T. is one of my personal favorite rides. And so what they do is they talk about the history of amusement rides, theme park rides, and they will give their thoughts if they liked it, disliked it. And then at the end, they'll do this little rubric to decide if the ride is world class. And they'll break it down. They'll ask these questions, and they'll see if it's worthy of a world class. If it meets a certain standard, based on the checklist, then the ride is world class. And if it's not, sadly, it didn't make the list. And so I decided to take that and now apply it to board games here. And now we're doing it with, is this game top shelf or yard sale? When I mean top shelf is it worthy to be shown on your top shelf when people come in and see your shelfie, when they see your all in its glory and splendor, all your board game collections, is it worthy to be up there for everyone to see your board game to ask, hey, what is that game? And be like, huh, I'm glad you asked. What is that game? And so is it worthy to be up there, or is this board game not worthy of being on the top shelf and you'll most likely find it at a yard sale that someone is selling that they saw in their house that was collecting dust and said, hey, let me make a profit off of it. And they're selling it for like $2.50 when this game could go for like, you know, $40, $50. So is it that bad of a game where it's not worthy to be on your shelf, but, you know, on your yard sale that you like to host every week? So yeah, we're going to decide that at the end. We made a checklist as well, kind of like I had to do For Your Amusement. Again, all credit goes to you guys. You guys are awesome. And so what we did was I came up with 8 questions in the spirit of board gaming. 8-sided die is one of my favorite dice that I like. I like the diamond shape of it. It's pretty cool to roll. So it's 8 questions. In order to meet the top shelf requirement, it has to at least get 6 out of the 8 questions marked off to make it into a top shelf game. And again, 6 because of the 6-sided die. So a little play on that, on those numbers here and stuff. And so, yeah, so towards the end of the podcast, we'll go ahead and do that checklist. But right now, we'll talk about more about Betrayal, House on the Hill, and why this game is amazing. Why, personally, I think you should have this game. And on every shelf, any board gamer shelf, it's an amazing game. It's a fun game. More of the dark, mysterious, supernatural kind of lore element to it and stuff like that. But again, made by Avalon Hill Games. I have here the one of the other expansions, but like kind of the other spin-offs of it, Betrayal at Baldur's Gate. It plays the same way as Betrayal, House on the Hill, but more of the D&D aspect. You're at Baldur's Gate, Dungeons and Dragons, for those of you who know what D&D is. It plays the same, except yeah, you're in the world of D&D, you're in the world of Baldur's Gate, so you have your classes, your mages, your warrior, your barbarians, all that stuff. There's a bunch of other ones. I think I saw like a Scooby-Doo one where it's like Scooby-Doo themed, which is pretty cool. There is an expansion here called Widow's Walk. I do have it, but I don't have the box because I condensed it all into this main box for the guys that are watching. I condensed into this box right here. And man, like, I can't just rave enough about this game. This game is so awesome. Like, the replayability of this game, the way that the game just immerses you into the world of horror and, like, just elements of, like, stuff that's happening, things that the way the gameplay is made out, and, like, you know, the way the game is built is you're building this game as you're playing. When I first played this game, I've never heard of anything like that before. I never heard of a game that you're building the house as you progress through the game, as you're doing the rounds. You're building this house. I've never heard of that. I always thought of board games where just set in stone board and then you set up the piece and that's it. This is, you're building it yourself. So you're doing something while you're playing the game, which is pretty cool. And it hasn't been unheard of when I first started. And which drew me in was like, wow, this is great. Because each time you play this game, the house is going to be different every single time. Every single time you play, it's going to be different. The way it's shaped, the way it is, the rooms, everything's going to be different. And especially the way the game plays works out. Now, the way the game plays out is it's pretty much you're discovering this house. You guys are a bunch of intrepid explorers, which the characters are a little bit questionable. You know, you have your Brandon Jaspers, which is, you know, he's a, let me see how old he is. He's 12, guys, he's 12. What's a 12-year-old coming in here and inspecting some, you know, haunted house and stuff like that? So you have some questionable characters here, but it plays in with the lore of the game. And you're figuring out what is happening, what is going on. You're figuring out why you're at this house. Why did you guys all come together? And you guys don't know until you start what's called the haunting. So you draw an omen card, and based on what room and what omen you got is going to determine, will determine what the haunting is, and determine what scenario it is and who the traitor is. Because yes, there's a traitor. It could not be a traitor. It could be a game where you're fighting against the game. Majority of the time you are a traitor, and it'll decide who the traitor is. Sometimes it'll say the person that has the most strength, the person that has the most speed, and you're basing it off of your attributes. Each of your characters have certain attributes you start off with, and you'll either gain some or lose some depending on events that happen throughout the game. I enjoy it. I like how the back of the box says, you know, face your terror as it builds tile by tile. Perfect caption there to dictate what kind of game this is. You know, you're facing your fears tile by tile. You're building each room. You never know what you're going to get inside. Is it going to be an omen? Is it going to be an event? Do you get an item? And again, 50 different ways to play this game. Every time you play it, it's going to be a different scenario. With the Widow's Walk expansion, it adds another 50, so you know 100 different ways to play it. And then if you have the other spinoffs, or the reskin games, Baldur's Gate, the Scooby-Doo one, I'm not sure if there's any more. It includes now another different scenarios for that lore of the game. We played with my wife and a friend of ours. We played Betrayal Legacy, which is, if you know what a legacy game is, a game that your actions carry over for each game as you play, kind of like a little small D&D campaign. And they have a Betrayal one where you're going through the years of your ancestry of your family, and stuff's happening every year, and you're figuring out what's going on. And then within that, that's a different scenario. You make decisions, and so that one was an amazing game to play. It took us a while to finish the game. But with Betrayal, yeah, like, and it's one of those games where it just hooks you in. And rarely you get one of those games that, you know, you're hooked in so much you want to play some more and just keep going and figure out what scenario are we getting this time? What are we doing this time? Who's the traitor this time? Are you the traitor? What are we doing? And I love it because, like, I like the aspect that when you find out who the traitor is, the traitor gets their own set of rule books, and the heroes, the protagonists, get their own set of rule books. The traitor goes off into another room or somewhere secluded where they can't hear what the protagonists are doing. They get their own objectives, and they have to figure out how do you win with antagonists, and protagonists are trying to figure out how they win. And you all come together, and now it's 1 versus 3, 4, or 5. The game plays up to 3 to 6 players. The game plays 3 to 6 players, which I'm a little bit iffy about the player count. You know, this is one of those board games where you have to have 3 players to play. You can't play less than that. And I understand because of how the way the game works is, you know, one of you, if it's 2 players, one of you is going to be a traitor for sure. You just don't know who it is, but then it's just 1v1. It could get kind of boring, kind of, you know, whatever. But yeah, 3 to 6 players. I recommend playing it with a full party of 6. It's a fun game to play with full people because then you have a lot of laughs, a lot of fun playing these games. And yeah, like I said, one of my top favorite games. I recommend if you have a friend that owns this game, or you go to your local board game shop that, you know, you can play games on inside there. Try it out. Bring 3 friends. Have a group of 5, 4, 6. Play this game out. Personally, for me, I don't think it's a hard game to explain or pick up. Some elements might be a little confusing, but once you get explain it a little bit, and you get the gist of it. After a couple rounds, you guys are just rolling and figuring out stuff what to do. I was able to show our friends Scott and Omar, the Sad Boys. I introduced this game for the first time. They enjoyed playing it. We were playing kind of late at night, so they were kind of a bit tired. But, I mean, I was tired too. And so, yeah, again, fun game. Try it out, guys. Avalon Hill Games, you guys did amazing when you guys came out with this game. And it's been out for a long while, you know. And so it's a fun game to play and see what scenarios you are. And guys, let me know in the comments below if you've played this game. Let me know some fun scenarios that you guys have had, sometimes that you had with friends, what happened, who's the traitor, what happened with the traitor, did you guys win, did you guys lose, and things of that nature. But let's go ahead and let's break this down. Let's go ahead and figure out if this game is a top shelf game or a yard sale game. I personally love this game so much, and I would give it a 100% top shelf game for me. But I will try to be fair, try to be coming at it with a rubric in mind, thinking of fairness of the game and stuff like that. And so we'll go ahead and ask these questions. So the first question that we're going to go ask for Betrayal here is this game easy to pick up and learn? Look, I want to say yes, this game is easy to pick up and learn. It's not that hard to kind of understand kind of the rule set. There are a bunch of rules here that you want to ask that they say. To pick up. It's not one of those kind of easy pickup games where it's like, you know, roll this dice, do this, and that's what you do. It's one of those games where you have to learn how movement is, how the movement is, how creatures move, how traders move, how certain things are played out. It's not that, personally for me, it's not that hard, but if I'm thinking of a mindset of this is the first time playing, it's not that easy to pick up. I know I hate saying this, but it's not that hard, like the harder games that I have, like Twilight Imperium or Doomtown or any of those, but it's not the easy games to pick up, like Sushi Party Go. So I'm going to go with no on this one. It's not that easy to pick up and learn, but again, it's not that hard. So sorry, Betrayal, you're not getting that question there. Does this game have, second question, sorry. Does this game have good game components and qualities? What we mean by game components is like, is the game, how is the game components are? Are they nice? Are they, you know, designed well? I think that's the next question, but like how are the game components of this game? I personally want to say it does have good game components because the fact that you're building these tiles, you have the rooms for the tiles, these miniatures are pretty cool. You know, the way your character sheets are, the kind of, and how you set up your attributes and things of that nature. I would say yes, this game does have good game components. I'm going to hit check mark on that one because you have your dice, your obstacles. Now the design, which we're going to go into the next question here, is does this game have good game design / gameplay? It does have good gameplay. I enjoy the gameplay. That's another, I think, another question. Some of these questions can kind of blend in. We'll answer the gameplay question later. But the design, I want to say yes with the tiles, with the room tiles. But when it comes to monsters or, obstacles or that stuff nature, you just kind of have this blank little like diamond tile here that you can see. It's not something to be wowed about. It's not like crazy stuff like Nemesis where you have the crazy little miniatures. So the game design is nice, but it's kind of your standard, not very... it doesn't pop out. You know, the miniatures are really cool, but again, they're kind of your basic miniatures as well. And by the way, I have a copy of the second edition. There's a third edition that came out that kind of updated that, but I haven't played the third edition. But I've seen it, and some of the components are kind of the same. Some of you guys might disagree with me, which again, let me know in the comments if you disagree with some of these questions that I'm asking. But I'm going to go with no. This game does not have a good game design. The photos are cool. The pictures are cool. And the room design is awesome, but it's not enough to make it all design. Because again, if I had some more miniatures of monster miniatures, that'd be pretty cool to have. Instead, we had little tokens. But again, that'd make this game crazy with a bunch of miniatures. But I feel like you guys can do it. I mean, you do it with Zombicide's pretty cool. You got miniatures for everything. But we'll go with no with that one here. Fourth question here is, does this game have a good replayability? Yes, yes, and yes. This game does have good replayability here. This game is... again, I said earlier, this game, you can play this game 50 different ways. Every time you play with three sets of, you know, you have a group of four, you guys play this game once. You have another group of four friends, you play it again. It's going to be different each time you guys play. Sometimes you get lucky, you'll get two scenarios. You get the same scenario, but again, even if you do get the same scenario, you'll get a different traitor. And they think differently than they did last time. And so yes, this game does have good replayability. You can play it multiple times. Especially, you have the expansion, it gives you another 50 different ways to play it. You have the reskins, you have the Scooby-Doo version or the D&D version. You have another different 50 ways to play this game and within that lore. Next question, does this game have a good setup time? I'm going to go yes, because this game, I've played games that have, example is Mansion of Madness. I love that game. Man, that game takes me a long time to just set up everything to make sure we're set up, get the game started. This one is pretty easy. You just have your tiles. You mix them up. You separate the cards, the event, the omen, and the item cards. You take out your dice. You can leave the tokens inside the box whenever you can take them out, monster tokens to look for them or the obstacle tokens. But yeah, you just set up your characters. You put the three starting tiles. You have the main foyer, the basement, and the upper floor. Or if you have the expansion, you get the roof as well. And then you just start off the game. You don't have to set up each room or anything like that. You're doing that as you play the game. So yes, this game does have a good setup time. We're going to go ahead and check that mark off. So right now we are 3 for 5. We just need to get two more. Or we need to get three more to make this game a top shelf. It's not looking really good right now. So sorry, Betrayal. You might not be a top shelf game, but you probably will be in my heart. But anyway, let's continue moving on here. So question number six. Is this game decently priced or will it break your wallet? Guys, I'm talking to you guys, hardcore board gamers. You guys know how expensive this hobby is, especially when it comes with board games. Man, a lot of these board games that I had have broken my wallet a lot where I'm like, oof. Maybe this wasn't the right purchase at the time, but I don't regret anything because I love all the games that I have. But and speaking of this game, is this game decently priced? Now, when I say decently priced, people, I'm not saying, oh, yeah, it's $10. You can buy it for $10. A lot of these board games, when it comes to decently priced board games, you're looking, what I think of decently priced is you're looking within like the $30 to like $50 range. Those are like a average type of board game that you can buy, $50, $55, $60 game range where you can get, which is fairly decently priced games. When you're like, you know, $70, $80, $90 and above type games, you're kind of, all right, should I buy this game now? Should I save up and buy it another time? I have a couple of those games on my shelf here behind me, that are watching, I'm afraid to say how much they cost. And you can Google it yourself and look it up on Amazon, and you can bash me in the comments below for buying these type of games. But when it comes to Betrayal, is this game a decently priced game or will it break your wallet? I looked up the prices on Amazon. It is $36. You can buy this game for $36, the third edition. Target's $55. If you want to buy the Baldur's Gate, it's another $35. So I'm going to go with yes, this game is decently priced. For $30, not bad, especially for the replayability. Definitely worth it. Next question here, 7, is does this game have good game lore? That's what this whole game is. It's just lore. It's just immersing yourself into this world of the house and figuring out what is happening. 100% yes, this game does have good game lore. Immersing yourself, even before you even find what the haunting is, what the omen is, what the scenario is, you have events that are happening in the house that are pretty interesting to read and to find out. You know, you're in this room, you find out that there is two ghosts that are playing with the little top. I remember this one because I always keep drawing this one. It's called Jonah's Turn, for guys that know. Jonah's Turn. Two kids are playing and Jonah's saying, it's your turn. And then Jonah says, no, I have all the turns, and starts beating the other kid on the head with this top. The lore gets you immersed, and especially with the little story, side stories you find out of the history of the house. And if you play the Legacy board game, it dives more into those history of those events, which is pretty cool because now those events are scenarios and gameplays that you're playing. And so it's pretty fun to play with those games. So yes, 100%. Does this game have good game lore? It does, yes, 100%. Last question is, does this game have good pacing / turn play / gameplay? Yes. So I used to play this game. When I first started this game, I kind of skimmed through the rules because I kind of watched videos on how to play and kind of got the gist of it. I should have read the rules, I know. I was a beginner when it came to board gaming. Sorry, guys, if you're like, skimming the rules, you can't be skimming the rules. Yeah. So when I first read this game, the pacing, we were playing it wrong, that the pacing took forever for all of us. We were just taking forever on each turn, and the pacing was so slow, and we're like getting bored, you know, to the point where, you know, if you're playing with six players and you're on the third player in, we're taking so long that whoever's six is on their phone just like forgetting about what's going on. Pacing is pretty quick on this game because the way you play it is every time you draw an event card or an item card, and you guys can correct me wrong if I've been playing wrong even again, or an omen card, your turn ends and it goes over to the next person. We used to keep playing. After you draw a card, you just keep going until all your spaces are done and you kept, so you keep drawing events, keep drawing things, and stuff would get boring because the first person that's going has like a movement of five. So he keeps going in rooms, finding more events so that you're stopping to do those events. You're stopping to show, you keep going. But the pacing is pretty quick because after you draw a card, you keep moving on. So you'll keep going until you figure out what the scenario is. And so it does have good pacing. The turn time is pretty quick if you're finding rooms with items or cards that make you stop to do these events or things like that. Yeah, the turn time, again, it's pretty easy. It's pretty quickly. You can get through the game. I think it slows down when the scenario happens and the haunting, you find out what the traitor is because you got to take time not to read your objectives, find your objectives, and then come back together and start taking you. You slow the game down a little bit because now you want to think, what are we doing? How do we beat this guy? How do we do? We got to figure out this and this and that, A, B, and C. With the when you're first starting off, you're kind of going pretty quickly because you're discovering rooms. You keep going, figuring out, rolling, figuring out what's going on. Does it have good gameplay? Yes, it does, man. I mean, this game even introduces a little bit elements of D&D, soft elements of D&D when it says do a might roll, do a sanity check, knowledge roll. Just like how in D&D you're rolling for your dexterity or your athletics check. This game introduces a little bit of those D&D elements where you're checking to see what your speed is. Roll that many number of dice, and whatever the result is what happens. And so the gameplay is really engaging, really immersive. I'm going to go with yes on this one when it comes to good gameplay, good pacing, good turn. Some people might disagree with this one because it's a little bit slower. But I feel like if you're playing correctly and you got good people engaged, you're going to go by fly real quickly until you get to the scenario of this game. With that being said, we have answered all 8 questions here. With a total of 6 out of 8, making this game a top shelf game. A fun game to have, guys. Again, starting with, you can get on Amazon for $36. Not a bad price. You can't beat that. And the way you get a bang for your buck for how much you get to play, how much stuff you get to do. It's a game I love to pop out a lot, especially when I have people that come over that want to get into games. I'll introduce them to this game. But based on our rankings here, 6 out of 8, this game is a top shelf game. It's a fun game to play, guys. Go and check it out. Let me know. Let me know in the comments. Do you believe this game is worthy to be on the top shelf, or does it have to be? Is it worthy to be, or unworthy to be in the yard sale of your neighbor down the street? So let me know, guys. Let me know in the comments below. And also let me know, guys, if you guys want me to check out another game. I'm gonna be trying and doing more of these yard sale. Is it top shelf or yard sale? Game here. We're gonna do a lot of my shelfy board games here, talking about those. But if you guys have a board game specifically that you guys want me to talk about and try out and play, if I haven't already, and decide if it is top shelf or if it's yard sale, let me know in the comments below. And also, guys, if you want to send us any questions for the podcast, you can find us on all socials. We are on Instagram, TikTok, X, Facebook, YouTube. You can find us at Games You Must Pod. That is at Games You Must Pod. Send us a message, follow us, give us a like. Don't forget to subscribe. And you can also email us at Games You Must Pod. That is at Games You Must Pod at gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for watching. Special thanks again to Ryan Bergara and Byron. Thank you guys so much for creating that awesome rubric and little gimmick of in your podcast about amusement parks. Go check out their podcast for your amusement. It's so awesome. So thank you guys so much for watching. Y nos vemos para la próxima.